If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Yes, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Ain't no love in the city, or no love in the state capitol, or a lot of love in the state capitol, but no love in the Civil Defense Department. Anyway, it's... Sounds like a free fall for everybody over there. Got friends, you're in. Alerts, it's alarming. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as well as yesterday and the day before that. It seems things don't change, but I guess the best way to say welcome to the Carol Cox Show. And I'm happy to be one of those people that, you know, look at things and they seem to be always broken. And, you know, and that's a good label to have put on you. You know, you aren't the restless. You just want to look a little deeper. And you should, because especially dealing with government, you should respect government. You should do everything to nurture it. Obey its rules, its laws, policies, work within them. If you can't, you don't like them or they don't suit you well, then do it in a democratic process and change it. It's that simple. No magic necessary, just commitment on your part and the willingness to to simply do make things better, as nothing's perfect. So many of you probably have heard or watched it. Watched the actual hearings that was scheduled or held and chaired by Mr. Greg Tanaka, Takayama, I'm sorry, and that was on Friday. And it was to basically flesh out the issues and the problems and what have you. And difficulty here is, in Hawaii, it's a small place, and even though we have close to a million people here, it's still a small place. And somehow you're going to interact with someone that knows someone that you know, and what have you. And it's a little difficult road to navigate sometimes if you want to be the advocate, because you may see your friend whom you just went to a first birthday party with, that you were invited, and that friend now is revealing the corrupt side of him or her or them. So, Greg Takayama is a great man, a good person, a reporter, and he's worked his way through the political thing. He was fairly and squarely elected. And he chaired this committee that listened to the issues with Mr. Ige and the false alarm. Now, a couple things here. When there's conflict and you're trying to get to the bottom of things, and you're just in an honest effort, and you're not going to be part of a cover-up. You're just looking for the truth so that you can, quote, fix things and make things better and avoid having such a catastrophe that we saw on the 13th there, that false alarm. And then these revelations came out. The governor knew about it in 2 minutes and what have you. And we'll talk about all of that. But so in that hearing that Greg Takayama chaired, there, and many of you probably would never look in this direction or give a hoot about it, but I'm just going to share with you an observation that was brought to my attention and pointed out, and I did some further checking. Greg Takayama is a staunch supporter of David Ige as governor, and as well endorses him as governor and endorses him as a candidate, David Ige, for the next election. And he is Greg Takayama. This doesn't mean to speak ill of him, but this is reality. This is a life situation. I'm not inventing this. This is what I guess we all have a responsibility to. Sometimes when we feel that there is a conflict, we are supposed to recuse ourselves, or we should be careful not to give the appearance that we will favor someone when we're looking for the truth. So if that smears the lines and smudges the line, then maybe we should remove ourselves and let the deputy chairman or someone else chair it, or have someone else hear that matter and chair that committee. So in this case, we know now that Greg Takayama, we observed in the hearing, there were a number of people commenting, and especially there was Gene Ward, who was complaining that he was being cut off and prohibited from asking a number of questions. And Takayama could have presented him or provided him the opportunity, extended the courtesy, or one of the other people sitting on the committee could have said, well, I'll let him use my time, a portion of my time, whatever, because we were seeking the truth as to what happened in the alarm. So Takayama is a staunch supporter of David Ige. Don't take my word for it. Go and just Google Takayama, David Ige, and you'll see two men made in the same mold. One supports the other supports the other. And so would that influence Takayama's, would he be encouraged to protect him from harsh questioning? I don't know. but it sure seemed like. And that's what was done. I believe that it was too contentious in he prohibiting Gene Ward from asking further questions. And no matter what you think of Gene Ward, you've heard my comments about him on this show and all, but in a democracy, when you claim to be looking for the truth, you look for the truth. So I know what you're saying about now. What has that got to do with anything? This is a small town. It's politics. Yes, Greg Takayama can and should be able to support whoever he wants to as a Democrat, as a you know state representative, what have you. But there is another element here that causes some concerns and catches the eye. There is a deputy treasurer, and if you were to go to the State Campaign Spending Commission and look at the organizational report candidate committee, you'll note that in Section 11, Deputy Treasurer 2 is Takayama. The name is Teal M. Takayama. If you were to do further research, you'll find that Teal M. Takayama is a daughter, assuming, of Greg and Greg Takayama. Now, yes, I know what you're saying. I'm pushing the line. I'm pushing the line here, and I shouldn't draw those conclusions because, yes, Greg Takayama is a state representative, and it's not to besmudge or smear his name by saying because he's a committee chair and he was standing and clearly prohibiting and refusing to allow Gene Ward or a few others to ask further questions of probative or whatever they were. He ruled him down, and I thought, gee, this was a fact-finding. So why not let the facts find their way to the openness and transparency? As you would see, Hanabusa talks about a transparent, and Hirano talks about a transparent investigation, but this investigation seemed to not have been transparent. But that's okay. So, I know what you're saying, that, well, Takayama has a right to support Ige. We're not arguing that. But Takayama also has a responsibility that when there is a issue or an appearance or an impropriety or some kind of conflict, one should cleanse themselves of it and step aside and make so, because this is a transparent attempt. This is an attempt to flesh out and seek the facts, because this is about thermonuclear bombs landing on our shores and smoking you. And we want to at least have people to know what's going to blow up in their face, you know, because forget it, you ain't got no emergency shelters anyway. So I think it's nice of them to be able to argue and get you the fair warning so you can look up and see the flash and kiss your butt goodbye, you know. Give you a little time, and I think that's a humanitarian, or I think it's a humane way of putting you out of your miseries, you know, to let you know what's going to smoke you. Well, so Takayama supports Ige as governor and campaigning for him and have openly spoke, and vice versa, the reverse of that. So then we look at, there is a Linda Chu Takayama. And as you know now, David Ige, the governor, as governor, appointed Linda Chu Takayama. She was recently with the Labor Department, and then now she's heading the state tax office after Valinsky, the name to resign, Zelensky. Now, so you have Takayama, a strong, staunch supporter of David Ige as governor. Takayama chairing the committee to allow people to shut them up or cut them off or however you want to describe it. I felt that, hell, let Gene Ward ask the questions. Even though I disagree with many of the things he say of Don or what have you, he still has a right in his capacity as a state representative to ask the question. And it is, in fact, given the environment and the climate and the intent or the supposed intent of it, is to seek the facts and so that we can build a better system and so that we don't have false alarms or prevent some activities such as that. Well, Linda Chu Takayama is on now David Ige's and his cabinet. So you have three things there that says to me, as a taxpayer, as a citizen, as a person who have been exposed to situations where you look to see the truth and your fact-finding efforts, and you don't get them because you have someone with the gavel in hand that can control the tenure of the meeting itself and who can ask what questions and how many questions. And that is exactly what you saw. And the integrity of that hearing was zero. And then what happened is that you watched all of many of the state senators, the state representatives that participated in that hearing, they didn't have much to say either. They should have objected and said, look, give the man the opportunity to finish his questions. What's it going to do? Take a couple more minutes? Is it going to reveal some of the facts or things that you may not have wanted to be out or you may overlook? So, Takayama supporting Ige, his daughter being a member of Ige's campaign team as a treasurer, and then Takayama's wife, Linda Chu Takayama, is in the governor's cabinet. I think those three elements, and not to cast aspersions on Takayama's family, his ethics, but it just don't look right. And if absent of, if we not have witnessed this behavior or this exchange between himself and Gene Ward, then I would say I'm just blowing smoke. But we had behavior that's consistent with one trying to cover up for the other fellow. Now, you may not agree with me and you may not find this palatable, but I just don't care and don't give a damn, because if we're going to talk about democracy and we're going to point the finger at Donald Trump and the Republicans, I got to say to you, turn the headlights on the Democratic Party and you will find many of people that are standing there with their eyes wide open and can't say anything because they're frozen in place, because they're part of the team and they are the headlights. It's what they see. They don't see that they were elected by you and me to represent us and represent the truth and bring good government transparency and all of that. They know this because they bitch about it every day about Donald Trump not being transparent and not revealing this and not revealing that. So they can't claim that this is something I'm dreaming of. They can't say that I'm manufacturing this. This is an observation, and we gathered and they assembled in a committee and steered this. And one of the things, just as a side note, now, I always like to check and check and recheck, but I found it, and I thought I'd just share this with you, it's a family affair, basically. That's how I would describe Hawaii's politics and Hawaii's economy, Hawaii's job force, Hawaii's the state agencies, the city agencies, the county agencies. It's family. And if you're part of the family, then you're in good. But if you're not part of the family, then you're out. So, but an interesting thing here, now you see, and again, recognizing this small town politics, and you're going to see people holding multiple positions and multiple functions, and that's not a crime. But Kill Him Takayama, this is from Inside Gov by Graphic. Kill Him Takayama, senior legislative assistant for Representative Colleen Hanabusa. So Takayama's daughter apparently worked for Colleen Hanabusa on her campaign. Now she's working for David Ige, so I wonder how that's going to play out. But this was some while back, so that's a couple of years back, maybe in 2011. It said she was that. But again, I'm not saying to you that that's because of that situation, they're guilty of anything. But the display and the behavior that I witnessed in that hearing suggested that someone was covering up and someone was impeding the people that would be asking questions, whether it be a Republican person or anyone. But Gene Ward had every right and should have been, and many of you should hold Takayama and the others for sitting there watching this thing unfold. And, you know, yes, Gene Ward is a Republican, and yes, the others are Democrat. And we're still no closer to the truth as to what happened with the false alarm than we were the day it took place, than it was the day the governor made his first statement that, you know, there were a button pushed wrong. Well, then, damn, well, then, if it was that simple, Governor, why in 2 minutes you had the information and you didn't tell us so? But it was as simple as a button was pushed, so no bad thing about that, nothing wrong with that. So if it was that simple, then why not simply tell us, oh, you know, I erred. I received the message, and I was running around chasing my butt, trying to find a hole to crawl in, because, admittedly, he himself says that he's not a good communicator. So, anyway, if you'd like to call in, 808-888-5204. 888-5204. And let's talk. Let's see what you got on your mind. And so, now, am I wrong? Is that something, am I pushing the line, fudging the line to say that I'm just making this up and or stretching it? I believe good government is when people, even the good people, are likely to be influenced by bad people to try and cover, to protect, and understanding at being at the helm and having the gavel in hand, and you know that your candidate who you support and you want to sustain him and you want him to stay in office, and you have the ability to chair a committee that seeking and probing for information that might reflect bad on your candidate. So an unethical person would likely chair the meeting. An ethical person would likely say, well, these are concerns, and I think I will set this one out and give it to the deputy or vice chair or someone that is completely removed. And, Mr. Governor, we are here to ask you because we want to know on behalf of the people what the real truth is in this situation. Now, those are my values. That's how I see it. Ask me, does it matter? I don't know. Does it matter to you? I don't know. But if you enjoy something as substantial as seeing this unfold, where false alarms and there's complete panic and what have you, then I will rest my case and shut up and say, hey, don't be alarmed. When the next one comes, there'll be more lies and more missteps and more misstatements and what have you. And they've been practicing for some while, and gee, you would think this was the first time they ever did it. So the whole process, I, to be honest with you, I don't trust anything that has been put forward in advance so far. And that's just not out of suspicion. It's just that I don't think that they, the Ige squad or the Klan, has understood the significance and the substantial impacts, the negative impacts that it has caused, because they are still in the mode right from day one. Oh my God, what is this going to do to my campaign? And I believe that every word spoken, everything that was presented by David Ige or his cohorts or his supporters had nothing, very little to do with getting to the truth and easing the minds of the people that were impacted, scared out of their wits. I believe, as I observed, that everything, because Colleen Hanabusa said she was stepping in, and I believe that nothing was revealed, nothing was said, things were withheld solely to manage David Ige's chance of staying in office and being elected again, and being able to complete his term this time as we voted him in, because this is a horrendous problem, a misstep on his part. And so, for me, I believe, given the impact and how substantial this was, and how the revelations of what is so badly broken, like many other things we'll talk about, I believe David Ige should do the right thing and just resign, honestly, as governor, immediately. Now, I know many people have hinted around that, but the wheels fell off of this wagon. And in the process, we wanted to know why did they fall off, and then there was this invocation, this practice was invoked to hide and refuse to allow people to ask multiple questions or a series of questions. And in an investigation, you don't just go, what's your name? Okay, the investigation is concluded. You ask who, what, when, where, and how, and then you offer the opportunity to the person you're interviewing to say, do you have anything else that I may have overlooked or not asked you? You got anything? Now, you wouldn't ask that of a guy who is being investigated for some serious crime, because he's going to look at you like you have a stick stuck in your forehead. But in the spirit of and taking a situation as this, where people's lives were flipped upside down, and I think I was saying to myself, I wonder, we will never hear these stories, but imagine some of the stories, and if you were willing to share, based on a false alarm, you cried and you hugged your family because this was it, but you wouldn't want to tell those things because it's rather embarrassing. And then when you learn that it was false, how does it leave you? Were you embarrassed in front of your kids or what have you? We'll never know that. So we're going to talk more about this and find out. I want to know what Mayor Caldwell is doing, and I know many of you will probably say, well, this is not his problem. Well, when buses were turning people away, I want to know. So one half of the whole measure of protecting the people and warning is to, okay, what if there is a missile in flight, en route? Do we have the mayor have had a plan? What is his plan for handy vans? Do they immediately stop and shuttle the people that are on board to safe facilities, or facilities that, I don't know what's safe in the thermonuclear bomb strikes, but, you know, I'm very ignorant to that subject. But I just know it's probably as hotter than hell, and I wouldn't want to go there. But buses, if you got a missile en route, do the buses stop charging and taking charge for passengers and get everyone on the buses and drive to a facility that's designated? What happens to the water company? The border water supply, how do they fit into this? Let's hear the mayor. Let's see before we have another misstep, when we learn we have a problem and there's no water. What do we do with many of the things that we won't be worried about? Sewage when there's a missile coming, but the roadways. What does the mayor? I would like to hear the mayor's plans that he's already put together now, not after this emergency developed or this false alarm, but what has he put in place to speak to it? Apparently, not much was given, no thought was given to any of this, or it was very shallow if it was anything. So anyway, I've invited you to call 888-5204. And we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll take a break here and be right back. Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and we're talking about the false alarm and government, good government, bad government, and whatever. One of the things I want to share with you, things are not so bad that most of us have given up. I noticed that yesterday there was a fire, and this is off subject, but it's about people like you and me who will get involved, even though we may not want to get involved or normally don't or what have you. But yesterday there was a fire in Mililani over on Popolo Hiva Street. And there were about five people at home, two-story house there, and devastation. So what I'm going to say to you is that make sure, check your fire smoke detectors. Again, check your smoke detectors. If they are bad, don't put it off. Change them. Replace them. Immediately. because speaking with the people that were there, the residents of that home, it was the smoke detectors that alerted them. And this was a horrendous fire because the only way out was the back. And as they described it, was they have a swimming pool, and the rules are, you know, you have to have a swimming pool locked for safety to keep children from walking in, straying in, or adults that can't swim or whatever. And so the situation made for horrible, horrible results. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, went unscathed. Neighbors responded real quickly, calling 911 because the people in the occupants in the home didn't have time. They say that propane tanks exploded and acetylene tanks that were present there went off and what have you. And this one person, now you're talking about being part of a community and rallying around and responding. This one person, his name is Greg, and he is a neighbor in the rear of the house. Were it not for his quick thinking, and this is not my interpretation and it's not his interpretation, but the residents of that, the occupants of that home said that it was such an inferno that as they got to the backyard and their only way out, they were trapped. This one neighbor takes a ladder, had the quick thinking, and put the ladder over the fence, over the wall, so that they could climb out and get to safety. Wouldn't it be nice if our government would be that responsive? Be that effective, that efficient. Try ask a government agency for a ladder to get anywhere. They're all up with mobility, but this was a display of, I mean, the human spirit is still good, folks. And I got to tell you, I was there and I witnessed not the incident of the rescue, but the home itself. And even when my home was bombed, the neighbors immediately rallied around. So, see, inside, we're good people. And so that's why I sit here and bitch and moan about why we need good government. Because it works. Being good people, it works. Being lied to and being manipulated and, you know, placated and, you know, in this sophisticated way of us and them and what have you. If there's an us and them environment, then it's them who's going to benefit and us is going to be neglected, because if one is hoarding something, the power, the influence, the money, the resources, then someone's going to suffer. So I thought I'd share that with you, that this one neighbor being so quick and to think, I need a ladder, and to have that ladder in place. So while you and I were responding to a false alarm a week ago or so, these people had a real alarm, and it was the people. I would just say to you, don't mess with middle of the line fire or anything, and that is a good community that they rallied around, and it was one for all and all for one, my friends. And so this guy, I don't know how someone gets recognized or recommended in the city for a heroic act, but we're going to contact Mr. Ron Menor and ask him to recognize this man, because five people, their lives were spared because of this quick action on the part of this one neighbor. So anyway, so much for that. But do go get your smoke detectors, folks, honestly, because they say they woke up to that, and by the time they were able to respond. The father, who's a senior person, was described as one who froze, was so terrified. And the action of his son was able to help him and get him to safety, out to the backyard. But so, do your fire plans too, and make sure you do. And you'll be amazed at how we will act in an emergency. And the best way to prevent some injuries or death or bodily harm, or that, you know, is to practice. If you have children, let me give you an example that just recently, a nephew of mine told me that he had recently had a car being repaired, and kept being repaired, and he took it back and forth and back and forth, and so the wife drove the car home and pulled into the garage, and they smelled smoke, and what happened? The car started to burn. Immediately, the children ran out of the garage, out of the car, and ran upstairs. Now, you might say that that's a dumb thing to do, but you do what you practice, or what you instinctively. So the thing that I suggested to him is that you need to sit down and develop a fire plan, an emergency plan, and have them to know that you don't run upstairs when there's a fire in the garage. Now, that was their instinctive behavior, reaction. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it was their reaction. So, again, I witnessed that yesterday, and I'm saying to you, as the simple things that we can depend on, and don't expose yourself to these risks. So, going back to Mr. Ige, I had someone ask me yesterday, well, what do you think is going on with the Department of Health and David Ige? Well, it depends on what Department of Health you're talking about, what branch, what division. And let's say the wastewater. And given, putting aside the mistakes, missteps, mistruths, the misinformation that we witnessed and been recipients of from the Ige administration in the last week, put that aside and let's go back to before missile strike. And know that we don't have the manpower. We have one inspector for the entire state of wastewater. We have supervisors now, but one inspector. How is that possible when there are federal funds provided, when there is state funds provided by legislative budgeting and what have you? How is it possible? Where are the priorities to the environment, to the health and welfare of the people of this state in the David Ige administration? How could we allow the entire state now, and this is an island state, so imagine if you are worried about pollution and septic tanks and sewage and what have you, how is it that David Ige could, in good conscience, allow it to dwindle to that level? It's always been low because it's been a cherry picking for budgeting. Is he manipulating this so that he could come back three more months near the election and talk about boast about a surplus, budget surplus, while we're standing in fecal matter up to our knees? Is he willing to do that? I would say yes, he's willing to do that, because look what he did when he got the message for the false alarm. 2 minutes he got it, and what did he do? He had to do some thinking and tweaking and what have you. You see. Restaurants. At some point, when you look at all the eateries and what have you, you're going to find that the manpower is just, it's impossible to cover. So eventually I believe that these inspections or the food services inspections that you see, it's passed. Physically, they do not have the manpower or the woman power or the enforcement or regulatory bodies to go there and do these things in a thorough way. So I would say that you look at how he's run the DLNR. You look at how he's run the clean water branch of the Department of Health. We have someone on Big Island. We have someone on Kauai. But we have called in 4 different complaints. And all that happens is that they can't go and they can't respond that way because no one's available. I told you about the one at Pearl City where someone was dumping grease and paint in the stream where there are clearly endangered birds swimming in it, but nobody could be reached or nobody could respond because they were in training on the Big Island. So, personally, I think we should treat Mr. Ige just like we treated Mr. Abercrombie. A ticket to nowhere, as long as it's not in our business, not in our leadership role, because they're not serving us, folks. They're not serving us. We don't know the state's plan on homelessness. Have you ever heard Ige speak of any full sentence or conversation about the challenges and what he's doing and what he's doing now, not what he's proposing to do for homelessness? He talks about it in a circuitous way, but the reality is no plans. Most of the work I showed you with the Donovan De La Cruz. Conflict of interest, in my opinion, in my observations about this, with the Alawai, with the other projects. Where is Ige's rule? Will he just tolerate this? So, I think for the betterment of all of us, I think that you look at him, he's a nice guy, and he is. He's the difficulty and really nice guy, nice man, you know, and you can say that he's worked hard. But governor is not his faux pas, just not his thing. And I believe that one of the problems is you look at who's running his government. You know, you got people that were from PRP. You got people that were. There's Mike McCartney, who's held every position in the state except for God. And you would think, with Mike McCartney's, and there's other, I think there's in the law enforcement, Billy Oku and some others, they've been around. You'd think we'd have a shining top star administration. You can't get them to respond back to you. They pass the buck. They ignore you. They're surly. They're disrespectful. And because they're the game. and you are not going to get any services. You're not. They're here. They're sitting in the hold pattern right now. It's like a plane trying to land, but the port is so busy with their own things. So they're not going to respond to anything that benefit you or me. They are in cover-ass mode. They're in scratch-my-back mode. They're in panic mode because Colleen is, and they don't want to lose their jobs, you see. And like Miyagi and others, one of the reasons they don't want to, you don't hear them saying, well, we're going to resign, especially at Miyagi, and which would the honorable thing would have been is to resign. But see, there's so much corruption in the emergency management and the sirens. They're talking about adding new sirens. There's been issues and debates about the sirens for a long time. They don't want to have Miyagi to step aside because then a new person might find that, hey, things are really mucked up here. That's one of the reasons. It's not, they're not worried about, well, we look bad. I believe, based on information that I have received and how the monies were handled and the acquisition and the lotting of contracts and the procurement process on this emergency equipment, that there are many flaws and flaws that are planned and in place because of the behavior that has hindered this, the efficiency of this agency. So it's not about the missile striking, it's about covering one's butt, covering one's ineptness, or more than one's in this case. One person pushing a button, come on, man. I mean, you've got to be the clowns of the circus to think that we would believe that. But that's the way it is, and what can you say? It's something that I believe that he should simply step aside. Leave the agency, leave the government, go back to being senator if the people in IL want him to be there. But we'll be back in the next hour. This is a Carol Cox Show. You can catch me at carolcox.com and or Facebook, Carol Cox, or The Carol Cox Show, or YouTube, 782-6627. We've posted a great many documents up there in video and shows, so go there and you can also catch us on the...
Had a weekday. we're gonna leave you way behind. Your friend will deceive you, leave you crying. Can't keep yours 'cause you are watching mine. Your mind is broad, you're gonna have more friends than a train can hold. You won't have no trouble or worries at all. You've got a strong brain. You know the strong overpower the weak, and the smart overpower the strong. The clever are the only ones enjoying the world, while the greedy save all and enjoy none. Your mind is smart. Nothing in the world is gonna be too hard. We gonna keep on going before others start. Got a strong brain.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Smart, big brain, you name it. Anyway, thought I'd play that because that's all we need, folks. We got all the money we need. Clearly, because they take your tax dollars, they got lots of money, and in fact, they're talking about taking more from you. So, we just need good ethics and some honest people in government, and as I talked earlier in the first hour about that hearing, I was somewhat sickened by the image that the bulk of them were Democrats there, and they're all just sitting there and watching this Gene Ward's exchange and whatever, and they were very calculating and relaxed and didn't want to make any noise. And they asked some questions, but it wasn't the kind that were probative and what have you. And they should have all said, no, we'll allow you to continue to ask your question. What was the rush? You know, someone not getting to ask a question. He said, well, the Mr. Brooks, I think, was the gentleman from Maui. He said, well, he's waited for a long time himself here to ask a question or comment. And I didn't think it was about that. In fact, given the nature of this incident, the false alarm, and the need to correct it and prevent it from happening, it could have been easily said, well, you know, look, we'll let you go ahead and answer yours, and we'll move it back, and if it need be, we'll, because of the severity and the importance of this, we'll extend the meeting. You know, it's... And so the legislative process is open now, as you know. And it'll go into May, and we'll see exchanges. So I would encourage you to get down there and try to participate, or just as an observer, and see. But it's kind of hard. You just don't really know the tricks down there at the state capitol, as many have described it as a hellhole. But I don't like going there, because you go in and you testify on something, and you, if you feel violated or soiled or spoiled, or, you know, someone's serving you something that's just distasteful, that's the experience you go there, because they've already predisposed us as to what they're going to vote for, what they want, because that's the way the game's played. It's not about what's good for the people. And there will be the back deal, backdoor deals, and there will be sidebar and ex parte meetings and what have you. And then they'll go over there to across from the street from the from the police station. There's a hideout for the Democrats that hang out in there in that building, and this is their party room where they all go with one senator that has a specialty in making Jell-O. And what have you, and desserts, and so it's a big party room, and that's where most of your policies are made, and your rules are made, and one of the things is that plausible deniability. You can go into and talk to them, but they'll tell you up front, well, we don't want any trace of any record. Don't send us any letters. Or don't send us anything in writing. Just bring it by and hand it to us, and then we'll go from there. And it's like they don't want to be involved. They don't want to be directly involved with the public or being a recipient of information. So just be aware of that if you are inclined to go down there and participate in that process. You will, don't get frustrated. And the best way to do it is to talk to your legislator, your representative, or your senator, and establish what it is you want them to help you with. Because most of the time, they sit there, and many occasions, they don't have a quorum. They don't have a quorum to listen to you, the matter. It's not listened to by the full committee, and then they'll vote to move it on. So just... It's kind of, they say, if you want to see government, go visit a law being made, go visit a sausage factory. Well, go, if you really want to see the people's rights being churned, destroyed, and ripped off, go to the Hawaii State Legislature or go to the City Council. There's another comedy of errors there. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Aloha, Carol. How are you? This is Rick Bronskill.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Yeah, listening to this, you know, this kind of almost circus-like events that are going on, it's kind of sad. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where do we start? Which one you want to start on first? I'll let you pick.
I had actually spoken to my son when this whole incident went down, and I was telling him, and he was telling, "Well, Dad, you're kind of cavalier about this whole ballistic missile thing coming in," and I'm saying to him, "I'm like, you know, I don't really know if this is real. And about 4 seconds later, a police car comes through and is making the announcement. You live in this country, and there's a lot going on, and this, something like this could literally give you PTSD. Because mm-hmm. you're under so much craziness from the local government to the national government. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, good.
You know, for me, you mentioned that last week I was going to share. When I first heard it, I was joking initially, but when I was in the Army, I was responsible for delivering mail to the Nike Hertz missile sites when I was stationed in Korea. And you just know that, you know, if something went awry or there was an attack or there was something transpired, you prepared yourself. When you leave in Osan and you're driving and you're transporting mail, or whether you're going by helicopter there, and you drive there and down to the bottom, there's a station down below to get up to the mountain to the missile site. And in your mind, you just know you're up there, and if it goes off, it's over, right? So I was thinking, that's funny, because that's what I drew from, like, well, no worry, man. If it's over, it's over. And but then it wasn't over, right? But then I see the what do you call it, the people, some doctors were talking about PTSD and people suffering from it and it being triggered or stimulated or exacerbated locally here because of this false alarm. So it's not we're not assuming these things have an influence, but for me it was like, well, I've been in a situation where when you don't have any control. And you know, at that time we were using Nike Hertz missiles or whatever they, not to get into the military discussion, but you were up there on that mountain, and you know if something went awry, it's over. There's no pain, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing was I have an associate, and years ago he used to. I guess, load and unload nuclear fuel into these missiles. He would, you know, I guess he would help swap out whatever it was they used. And he told me in confidence, he said he has 2 bad days a year. He said, and on those 2 days, he literally would shut himself in his room and drink. And then the next morning, he'd be okay. He said, because he understood exactly what those missiles will do. And not to frighten the public, but maybe if Korea sent up something, all right, they might knock it down. If it exploded, yeah, there might be some survivors, because they may not have the type of nuclear weapons that that other folks have. But basically, you know, like I was saying to my son, it's like I kind of made peace with everybody, as many people as I could. And you just know that where you're going to hide on an island like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so bunkers are cute, and I hope that people would survive. But, yeah, it's just part of the reality of today's society. I mean, who put us in this place that we now have to worry about nuclear weapons going off?
You know, that's a big question. Who did put us in? Did we do it ourselves, or... I don't know.
I know you and I didn't, because nobody talked to me about nuclear weapons and whether or not we need to have the proliferation of them. So.
Right. And I was surprised, you know, maybe I'd missed it. There's an anti-nuke community here, right? Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that they would be chiming in to tell publicly to, you know, this would be an opportunity to start speaking to that and not just preparing and being warned about the arrival of a nuclear weapon in our directions, but to prevention and reduction. But sounds like right now the conversation that we have between ourselves and is about we would likely acquire more.
Oh, definitely. It's not about really de-escalating.
Right.
It's about, you know, it's kind of like an egomaniacal thing where it's like Trump was playing that game about my button is bigger than your button.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, buttons ain't no good if ain't nobody here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't see people really taking this seriously. It's just kind of the, you know, superficiality of living in a country where, oh, yeah, well, you know, we could help blow up the world, but, you know, we got something else to do this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've known this situation with, what do you call it, North Korea, and that's the unfortunate thing. We're all focusing on North Korea. But to get us to this point, we were told to worry about the dirty bomb that could be arriving in a container. And it'd be delivered in some suitcase or aboard some aircraft, and so I'm asking, well, what was the emergency response in that? What was laid out? You know, what preparations did we have? And so I look at today's paper, for example. They say a closer look in the Insight, the Star Advertiser. Hanabusa and Schatz and Maisie Hirano got comments about, you know, Colleen learned from field-tested experts, review drill frequency, pursue missile defense, improve federal state, that's Colleen. Hirano goes, improve federal state, military state coordination to dispel confusion. Public trust lost by bureaucratic errors. This is Schatz, exacerbating system with no safeguards. When I see this, I think, what a luxury. You can extract yourself from the leadership role, the community of leaderships, because they are our, quote, leaders, right?
And well, they're getting paid enough to be our leaders.
And then they are able to extract themselves and as if it's somebody else's job. I haven't heard them speak on reducing or reduction. I think, in fact, they're looking, we need a bigger muscle. This is the message I get from our legislators. And, by the way, they say that Tulsi Gabbard chose not to participate in this opportunity to comment, but why now all of a sudden? What was our federal leaders? Shouldn't they have been asking these questions a long time ago when we the subject of Hawaii being a target or Guam being a target?
Well, they're all gonna, you know, step back and point at everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be a leader, you need to take a leadership position. You need to go forward and say, this is my platform. This is what I'm looking to do. This is my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can get these things addressed and addressed in a timely manner. Not, well, you know, I'm gonna do this, but I need to go do a press op right now, and I'll come back to that. And then 6 months later, okay, well, yeah, let's get back on that because it might be fresh in the news again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's just, I just don't see that. Nose to the grindstone, let's get these issues done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's easier to just kind of blow it off and give it to an assistant and tell them to look it up.
Right. You notice that neither of them are other than Hanabusa stating that she want to run against him, but I haven't seen any of them decrying or claiming that, or calling for the resignation of Ige. I mean, this, if they got such a massive concern and their comments are extensive and their concerns and what need to be done and what have you, I believe this is sufficient information and missteps on the part of Ige that they recognize in this whole situation is that they should be calling for his resignation. They should lead the call, in my opinion, because, see, I don't think we'll ever know what really happened because I don't believe Ige and any of them understand the full impact of how it, the negative impact that it presented to the population here, as well as the image of America, or we're a bunch of frightened children on board a school bus that's out of control, careening down a hill.
Well, you know, the other thing that really got me too was in the midst of this crisis, trying to de-escalate this, they test my intelligence by having somebody come on from the tourism board and say why he is still as safe as place.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding to have the audacity to have somebody like that come on. And I don't have anything against the guy that said it, but it was just the sheer nerve of, well, you know, we got to protect our dollars when your citizens are living on the street. It was just appalling.
Well, I thought they should give Hawaii, instead of just calling it the Hawaii government, call it Bucks for Us, or Bucks are Us, you know, like Toys are Us, you know, because it was kind of frightening to have someone who cares about the tourist trade when we haven't even gotten over the shock and the fright that was presented. You know, and I don't know how one can gauge the impacts, full impacts, because they don't present themselves, you know, these impacts, and we may later see people. But they say, well, we don't want to get numb about this, right? But what was it, 2 years ago we had a series of hurricanes that were, every day seemed like during hurricane season, we were hunkered down because one was predicted to come and one was right, and so we are being set up. Eventually, there will be some kind of, and so the whole process needs to be reviewed. But here's something that I wonder, and I guess this is the nature of keeping us separate, and not allowing any channels of communication or anything. If we are petrified and terrified now because of that false alarm, what are the people in North Korea when they hear our president say his button is bigger and he's going to use it, and it's going to be like no other response you've ever seen in your life, basically, paraphrasing.
Yeah. That's a form of terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where is part of the planning and preparation for these things is de-escalating? I mean, try to get rid of it and maybe not. And I know many will argue, well, you know, he went out there and he got it himself, and he tried to develop, and we told him, no, we can't, and he can't do it, and we're going to sanction you. But we're increasing our power of ability to deploy nuclear weapons, right? So maybe it's our behavior that's triggering the need or the desire of many others to. They figure, hey, if I got one, then I can hold you off. If I don't, you can trample on me. Could it be one of those? I mean, I'm just asking that question.
I think that that's a big part of it. I mean, you know, you can't go around the world strong-arming people in one hand and then trying to dump aid on them on the other hand, and saying, you know, we're really friendly here, we're really friendly, but we also, you know, we will topple your government if we feel the need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a schizophrenic country where we talk about liberty and whatnot, but we still do things around the world that would make your hair curl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so somebody needs to, or any group of people need to get together and say, look, enough of this, you know. But you have, for every one of those people, you have 20 people who are like, well, we need to militarize the police. We need to militarize the schools. I mean, we're fighting a battle here in America against our own people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's craziness.
Yeah, and they say it's all hinging on a communication I was hoping that our federal legislators would come back with some strong, harsh words for this situation, because they should be shocked into the sense of reality that no more politicizing and playing games and what have you. Now, this was a wake-up call to say nothing was in place to address any of this, or it would have left... Where do you go, Richard, when a bomb is on its way? Let's say, well, we saw that you went to Walmart and they ran him out of there, right?
Yeah.
Then someone was putting a child down a manhole cover.
Yeah.
And someone said, well, I wouldn't do that, you know, because I wouldn't recommend that. You see, I think the circus came to town and the clowns took over. You know, and that it's like, who would even engage in whether that's a good thing or bad thing when there's a nuclear weapon en route, supposedly, and you're having time to assess and criticize a person for choosing that measure of he could stand there and get roasted or toasted.
Yeah.
Or he could, in his mind, thinking that I get down below ground and at least I'm, you know, and they said, well, you could die from the gases.
Yep.
Okay. You see, this is what just simply says that we have some real serious issues here. And it's not just a failure to communicate or the failure to push the button or the right button. I don't trust any of this process. None of it. We've had alarms go off before when they know there was a false alarm. We don't know why it went off. We shouldn't be tolerating that kind of nonsense.
Yeah. But you know, here when you're local, the people who are the officials are also your neighbors, your local people. So we kind of step back and go, he made a boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, you got neighbors on the other side of the island who are getting in sewers, who are being put out of stores. It's almost unforgiving, but that's the world we kind of live in. People mm-hmm. just have to buckle down and say, we're going to change this today.
Well, in Hawaii, I think that the amount of money, and I wish I could have access to all of the documents. Gene Ward was hinting that a forensic audit be done, right? Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. We should have an audit, but who's going to conduct it?
It'd have to be somebody outside.
Well, you know, I mean, we see audits quite often. Audits, pretty good audits. They reveal a lot. But nothing ever gets, no one revisits that and says, well, okay, the audit found this to be wrong and misplaced and misspent. You need to cough up some explanations and we're going to prosecute you. We don't see that. So it's a system that glad hand everything. Everybody's in position. We got agencies that are responsible for drugs, right?
Mm.
But then how effective is that? We got people, domestic violence, or mm-hmm. child protective. Are all of these things, they just seem to be that last button, the most important thing is the leadership and the integrity from top is not there. And so we operate in this fog in a sense that, assuming everything is fine, you know, everything's fine. We have these agencies and they're taking care of it. And then you find out when each one of them reveal, it's like, are you kidding me? The millions we've squandered and put out there, and you're telling us now you got to go back to basics to figure this out. Something's wrong there.
Yeah.
But you know, the police department. What if you were a policeman and you heard a missile was coming? What kind of policy do they have to protect the police's family, the policeman's family?
Yeah,
You know, all of those things. And I would like to hear them talk about that and let us know, hey, what about the schools? Well, this one occurred on the, was it a work, it was a work day, correct? No.
Saturday.
And so what about all those people out at the soccer fields and the recreation and all? You're exposed.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a population wipeout, basically.
And let's say, how do you get... You could navigate the streets if there was truly one coming. So someone said, I think it was... said, we need to build more shelters. How about just... I think it was Tulsi Gabbard in her early comments. Like I said, she didn't... The paper reported she didn't want to... she withdrew from participating, offers federal perspective to... but she had a lot to say in the beginning.
Well,
you know, she
might pull her coattail.
She was all in CNN and NBC and CBS. You know, she was there, man, and didn't have one solution, and still has yet to have a solution that we can rely on. I mean, not lip service, but this is the representatives here in the politicians. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe they see it as a career. They don't see it as a service to the people. They get in, they like the honey, and that's all it is. They just hang in there and milk the system. She's been in 15 years, I'm told. Tulsi, what has she done? I mean, it's like. It's a career for them. It's a retirement. They see, oh, you know, I can get, as a congressperson, I can get insurance and good coverage,
yep.
And I can get a pension and this and that. And well, what policies did you make? How did you represent the people? Well, I spoke proper English, and I was there on TV and CNN all the time. I was representing us. Yeah, but we're still stuck over here with, I won't call them dummies, but people that have a responsibility that they fell down on the job.
I've been thinking about a national referendum that cuts across some things. They may not seem like they are related, but my national referendum starts with what I call one less. So what we do is we take one less nuclear submarine. We don't build it. You take all that money and you shift it so that everybody in the country can have insurance. That's the first thing. The second part of that national referendum is these politicians have done no work in like the last 16 years. They automatically get a pay cut, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30-40% off of their pay, then they might think about doing some work. Because right now, they're not doing anything. No one's addressing anything. And mm-hmm. The American people are just kind of sitting here, you know, blowing in the wind.
But yeah.
That would make them get up and say, hey, you know, I got to get up and do some work today.
Yeah, but there's a different strategy in their mind. It's about team and party and what have you, and the witnessing of, you know, like this hearing that I was talking about earlier, purposely denying one person to ask questions, now, not make statement, but ask questions, and this is what this meeting was about, and limiting, you know, so... It was not
sure because if you ask too many questions, you'll get to the answer.
Yeah, and so you know, and then you being the supporter of that, and your wife works, and your daughter works on the campaign for the governor, you're going to be inclined likely to sequester or to quash or impede the questioning from other, prevent others from asking questions. Hold on, let's try. Hold on, don't go away.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, a good topic. You know, another thing about these people in Washington, the congressional delegation thing, reduce this back so they don't have that much guidance.
Are you there?
I think I put it.
Are you there, Don?
Try calling again with this phone system. If we get more than one, for some reason, we get a feedback. I can't explain it to you, but either of you listening, call back. But anyway, I'm just taken aback. I wish. Go ahead, caller.
Carol, yeah, I had a bad line. That's why I couldn't get a hold of you.
Okay, go ahead.
Concerned about the people in Washington, D.C., the representatives, the House and the Senate. Another thing is cut their staffing down. You know, they don't need all these people, and then they're going to realize, oh, shit, we got to do a lot of work over there.
Mm-hmm.
They got too many people being paid in their offices here in their state as well as in their, Washington, D.C., so that would make them work harder. Another thing is state representative in my district.
Mm-hmm.
On the women's side, told me if I wanted to run for his office when he was going to retire, he told me he had two people he was going to protege, you know, to give him his space to take over.
Mm-hmm.
First one came in, asked him how much the job paid. He gave the person that, you know, that lady, a woman, the answer. She left. The next one was a guy came in and said, how long do I have to work so I can get retirement and all my benefits? He gave the answer, they left. I told my representative how hard it is to be a politician nowadays. Just everything's on the internet. People are calling you left and right, city, state, everything. That's not the point. You're here to represent the people. The people are the employers of you, the representative. But it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Carol, you know, I'm gonna go to that Rate Commission meeting for that bus and hand event tomorrow in the afternoon at the Mission Memorial Building, that Red Brick Building, from 1 to 4:30. Continuation from the January 8th one I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago. They want to increase the handyman from $2 to $3, 50% increase in 1 year, and then 50 cents every year until 2022 to $4 each way. That's very harsh for people on fixed income. So I'm going to be there to witness what they're going to say from the administration and the continuation of handyman and bus, and to testify at the Rate Commission of my point of view on what the rate should be.
Mm-hmm.
Not 50% increase. No way, no how. Ain't no way it's going to go up, Carol. It's going to the rail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't think that they would not. And Cheryl Soon is chairing that, you said?
Yes. She was also on the Charter Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Richard this morning, and he said, yeah, she was on the Charter Commission when they were going through all the bills the charters to be voted on in November of, 2016, and she was on the board of the Charter Commission, so
mm-hmm.
She was there also. So she's the chair. You know, there's four appointed by the mayor, three by the council, but then one guy quit already, so out of seven, they only got six members, so they're looking for one more from the council side. But you know how the vote might go on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, Carol, good topic. I'm sure you'll have a lot. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Donald. Okay. Aloha. Yeah, Richard, if you're listening, you can call back. Just can begin to explain to you what this phone line, it's unpredictable. So anyway, there is so many things about this, I felt that with this false alarm, shortly thereafter, everyone tried to change the narrative of change, steer the conversation away from how horrible of a job these people have done to, well, we learned some good things from it. But then what good things did you learn? Because if you learned good things for it, would be a further admission that things were badly broken or that you had failed to look at them. And should we learn what's broken because of a crisis that we created? Or should we learn what's broken from having an honest effort, an investigation or a review, or consulting someone that knows and know how to look at these things so that we don't have to discover when we need them, we don't have them?
And that is what's really troublesome here, is that I thought it, sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut because, it gave us a good opportunity to see what's broken. And all along they were telling us everything was finely tuned. So they're not being honest about fixing things, or they're just taking things for granted. And again, I believe money is being diverted, money is being misspent, and I believe there's a degree of fraud in the charging of all this, and the emergency management agency should be not just audited but investigated. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling.
Just calling back.
All righty. Welcome back there. Go ahead. If you were about to say something, and
No, just kind of went out of my thoughts from then.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a lot has to do with just being conscious, being more conscious of what's going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just saying, well, I'm going to watch the news tonight and see what's going on, but I'm not going to participate. I'm just going to stand back and just see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you think our federal legislators even were involved at the early part of this when this talk about we need to develop? Didn't they get a briefing or something from the federal government or should they have made themselves available or inquired on our behalf? You know, okay, so if a missile is launched, what do we do? And then, okay, we do that, but then why is the state involved? Why do we need another? If a missile is coming, it's coming, right?
Mm.
So why do we need to hand it off to the state when, in fact, the first receivers of it and who could confirm it? And that's where the state's getting their information from anyway, right?
I guess it's you're trying to figure out, you know, what's going to come first. I would assume that the feds with the military would see something coming and say, okay, we'll pass it on, make sure that you guys know that missiles are incoming. Then they also have to figure out, well, there's a bomb coming, what are we going to do to either shoot this thing down or try and survive? So it's a mishmash there. Yeah, the feds need to be involved to make sure that we know that it's an authentic missile strike, okay? But by the same token, it just becomes convoluted. Because like you said, who's watching their back? And there's always a possibility at a federal level, if you leave it totally in one group's hands, and somebody's going to be sitting there picking their nose and pushing the wrong button. And so it's like, who's watching who?
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes, you know, a comedy of errors.
Mm-hmm. You know, Brian Schatz, for example, real sharp. And I think if you ask me of all the representation that we have up there, I think he's probably one of the better ones. But he said bureaucratic errors made the crisis worse, but on a number of levels, the system was destined to fall short. First and foremost, many people were unprepared and did not know what to do when they got the alert. Public officials couldn't reach each other, and 911. See, it's one thing to say that, okay, it was a mistake and he pushed a button, but these things should have been thought out from the day one. If you get a missile launched and it's on its way, what do we do to reduce the impact of the people, the death rate? Or how do we connect the buses? Or do we park, just order all buses parked, use them as a shelter, or whatever? But all these things had to reveal themselves after the fact. So what are they doing every day? We're sitting around there planning, playing Pac-Man on their monitors or what?
Well, they're getting paid first and foremost. So, you know, as long as we're all getting paid, it's a good thing. And nobody's saying that money is bad, but, you know, but if money is the root of measuring your lifestyle, then folks are going to try and get as much money as they can, and even if they're not doing their job. So,
yeah, you know, with caution, I don't want to sound like I know everything, but I'm just saying that if you have you're worried about an alert system, so, okay, you warn the people. But then further thought should have been given, well, then now the people know, what do they do? And what do we do to complement them in their last moments or getting to safety or, you know, what buildings are safe? Because we're dealing with an unknown anyway, right? It's a nuclear weapon. And maybe this is all just discussion for nothing because it won't matter. You know, I feel kind of ignorant because you're talking about strategy. We should be notified. Well, maybe if you're notified, it just add insult to injury. You know, you're doomed anyway, right? So maybe instead of preparing how to avoid being nuked, we should train our senses on reducing nuclear weapon and getting rid of them around the world.
Well, you know, they're saying that. Okay, so there's a gap in here. Okay, so we know that we have nuclear weapons. We know that we can have a war. We just had a false alarm. Well, somewhere along the line, there's supposed to be procedures that, you know, that the public should have kind of known about, but we just kind of, you know, time has just kind of passed. When that happened, they should have immediately started saying, look, these are the classes we're going to have. We're going to make sure that we start putting this stuff on public access. We're going to make sure that we start handing out flyers around Hawaii saying, look, this is what we need to do. A week has gone by. I ain't seen nothing nowhere with nobody other than these guys talking about, well, you know, hey, I would fall on my sword, but I'm not going to fall on it because there's been no action, okay? Back in the day when we were kids, what was that thing, stop, drop, and roll, whatever it is, stop and...
Tuck, duck, and roll.
Nothing has happened now.
Right, and,
you know,
and where is the mayor who has all the transportation, who has the police, who has under his control? Where was he at in this? See, he's been... pretty fortunate that we've treated him kind of kindly, but I asked the question, if the bus was kicking people off the bus and all those things, where is he at on this, and what did he prepare for in case moments like this? Let's see the plan. Let's see.
Well, actually, I had a bus pull up in front of our building, and there's an open foyer there, and the people got off the bus. And the guy did what he was supposed to do. He pulled that bus over and he said, go into a building.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew what he was doing. The rest of them, you know, I'm like, well, I'm giving props to the bus driver.
Right.
You know? But then you got the people who are kicking people out of stores. No, you can't do that.
And what did the bus driver do? Go and drive, leave and drive on down the...
I don't know where he went, but he made sure he got his passengers into a building.
Right. Well, he needs to get an award.
Exactly.
and then stayed out in the, you know. Well, there's another caller here, and I can't answer two calls at once.
No problem. I'm off. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
All right. Aloha.
Caller, go ahead real quick.
Aloha. I'm just saying that we need to deal with why we are such a target. We're talking, otherwise we're talking only about the results, instead of handling why we are such a target. Once we solve that, then we don't need to be targeted. So
right.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, if we treat other people kindly, but making threats against them, I guess they might want to bomb us too. I don't know. They are human beings, and the same thing to make us tick, make them tick. They just speak, they being whoever it is, speak a different language from a different culture, but I don't think anybody enjoy being threatened or And we have to be reminded that we're the only ones that have actually used a nuclear bomb. We, the American, the righteous and the upstanding country. So as long as we have that element and failing to guarantee others that they can trust us with our weapons, I think most people are going to be, whether they admit it or not openly or whatever, they're going to be looking for something to deter and thinking that if I had a nuke, it would keep you off of me. But who knows? And I'm simplifying things, but from a humanity aspect, human aspect, it's what will make us frightened frightens other human beings too, no matter where they are geographically. So anyway, we'll be back next week and talk to you later. This is the Carol Cox Show. Go to carolcox.com or Facebook, Carol Cox, the Carol Cox Show. We're going to be posting quite a bit of stuff up, and we'll join you next week. Aloha.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.